Good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to call to order this meeting of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. It's Thursday, March 8th, 2007, and members present are Senators Bundy, Davis, and Ellis. We have several items of business before us today. I plan to take up first Senate Bill 93 by Senator Davis, Professional Counselors, and then to hold the first public hearing on Senate Bill 101, Guardianship and Conservators, followed by Senate Bill 97, Alaska Native Art Identification Seals. So that's the game plan for the committee today. Let's take up first then Senate Bill 93 by Senator Davis relating to professional counselors. We've had the presentation and public testimony. I just wanted to bring it up for Mr. Urien to come forward briefly. If you could identify yourself for the record and just let us know what you think of the bill briefly, and then we'll be ready to act.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Rick Urien. I'm the Director of the Division of Corporations, Business and Professional Licensing. Our division supports the bill before you, and you've heard from all the experts about the bill last week, and I'm sorry I couldn't be here because I had to be in two places at once, and I found that's impossible to do.
We understand you're a busy man. So,
but we'd ask that you pass the bill out.
Okay. Questions or comments for Mr. Urien? Senator Bundy?
Yeah, I just had a question. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It is a zero fiscal note. We've had conversations before about you know, people in your department the wherewithal to carry out investigations, and it apparently people in the past have claimed they're licensed professional counselors when they're not. The licensing is self-supporting, but would that also provide enough money, enough funding so that you could investigate claims if there were people using the title fraudulently?
It's a tough one.
Illegally.
Through the chair, Senator Bundy, we, of course, investigate any claims we get of fraudulent activity, of people saying they are who they aren't. Whatever it costs us, as you know, the law says we charge the licensees whatever it costs us to regulate them. So whatever that cost of that investigation would be would go into the mix, and the next licensing period would be divided by the number of licensees, and that would be charged to them. So that's the way it works. So it's a fairly uncomplicated formula, but that's the way we do it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to record that indeed it would be self-supporting.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Good point. Thank you, Mr. Urien. Appreciate you being here. And we look forward to working with you in this committee throughout the legislative session. At this time, the chair will entertain a motion to move Senate Bill 93 onto the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and the accompanying fiscal note.
So moved.
Is there discussion of the motion? If not, is there any objection to the motion? If not, the bill moves on to the next committee of referral. And Senator Davis, thank you for bringing the bill forward. The next item before us is Senate Bill 101, Guardianship and Conservators. Mr. Fink, are you there with us? Mr. Fink? Okay, we're going to go on to Mr. Lampkin from Senator Gary Stevens' office. We'll bring up Senate Bill. Let's set aside Senate Bill 101 for the moment and go on to Senate Bill 97. Mr. Lampkin, if you could join us, please. And identify yourself for the record, and then please go ahead with your presentation on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and the members of the committee. For the record, my name is Tim Lampkin, staff to Senator Gary Stevens. Unfortunately, Senator Stevens was obliged to leave town this afternoon on family medical business, and he's given me his blessing to present the bill to you this afternoon. It is with great pride that Senator Stevens offers Senate Bill 97 on behalf of the Alaska State Council on the Arts. Despite its existence for decades, I venture to say that many people in our state don't recognize this emblem. It's known simply as the Silver Hand. It's a marketing tool that represents a piece of art as being authentically made by an Alaskan native in Alaska. Its origins date back to at least the 1930s, when market demand for Alaska Native arts and crafts was clearly increasing. Since that time, there's been an ongoing effort to bring credibility to the Silver Hand program and to honor Alaska Native artists wishing to sell their wares. Frankly, that effort has been thwarted by fraud. A new line of thinking has emerged with some success that puts focus on the artist instead of the art. Senate Bill 97 is truly and simply a housekeeping bill with no motivation other than to modernize the statutes regarding the Arts Council Silver Hand permitting and to rejuvenate a program that is poised to blossom. Personally, having 16 years of experience in the summer tourism business and considering that I personally receive almost daily requests for authentic Alaskan art, I believe that Senate Bill 97 and the Arts Council can help make this a more readily recognizable emblem among the public and a beacon of help and inspiration for artists, Alaskan artists, and the arts and crafts market in Alaska. On behalf of Senator Stevens, I want to thank you, Mr. Chairman, and the committee for taking the time to consider this issue. Myself and key players of the Silver Hand Program are standing by to answer your questions.
Okay. Mr. Lampkin, thank you for presenting the bill. Any comments or questions at this point? If not, if you can stay right there with us. We understand we have online Saunders McNeil. Mr. McNeil, are you there?
It's Saunders McNeil. That would be Ms.
Ms. I apologize.
That's no worries.
Ms. McNeil, if you could identify yourself and your affiliation for the record, and please go ahead.
My name is Saunders McNeil, and I work with the Alaska State Council on the Arts as the Community and Native Arts Program Director. The Silver Hand Program represents one program in a triplet of State of Alaska-sanctioned authentication programs, the Silver Hand Program, Made in Alaska, and Alaska Grown. The program is the only Native Arts authentication program in the state. It is also, based on our research, the only Native Art authentication program of its kind in the nation. The program currently serves permit holders whose statewide distribution represents 143 communities at my last count, and whose population spans the entire state and includes all Alaska Native culture groups. The Silver Hand Program is 46 years old. No statute updates have been implemented to reflect and respond to the dynamic changes within the state since the program's inception. The proposed changes embodied in SB 97 represent decades of feedback offered and gathered from a multitude of Native artists, Alaska businesses, program administrators, and other key stakeholders. This input has been communicated through various means since the initiation of the Silver Hand Permit Program in 1961. The proposed statute changes will accomplish a number of different things, and I think I'll just list them, and maybe we can go from there. It retires the agent arm of the permit program. It removes reference to blood quantum and replaces that with federally recognized Alaska Native tribes and Angsa tribes identifying their members. It adds civil penalties for the misuse of the Silver Hand emblem. It links the Consumer Protection Fair Trade Practices statutes and Silver Hand statutes. It includes Alaska Native artists producing contemporary work. It expands allowable materials for artists, and it also expands the definition section and defines eligible art mediums. Thank you to the chair and the committee for taking the time to review SB 97. Alaska State Council on the Arts is in full support of the bill, and we recognize that this bill represents years and years of feedback and response and hopes for modernization to the program.
Ms. McNeil, thank you very much for your time and testimony today. Let's go now to Charlotte Fox.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Charlotte Fox. I'm Executive Director of the Alaska State Council on the Arts, and although Senator Stevens is not present there today, I want to be sure and thank him for his sponsorship of this bill. I think Ms. McNeil has thoroughly covered the points on the bill, and there may be one or two other members of the Silver Hand Task Force online. And I think we'd like to entertain any discussion or questions that the committee may have.
Thank you, Ms. Fox. We appreciate you being with us. Let's go to Sven Hawkinson. Mr. Hawkinson, are you there?
Yes, I am. I don't have anything further to add other than I was on the task force, and I appreciate all the work that both Charlotte Saunders have done in putting this together, and then also want to thank Senator Gary Stevens for sponsoring this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Hawkinson. Could you state your affiliation just for our committee notes?
Okay. My name is Sven Hawkinson. I'm the executive director of the Aleutic Museum, but I'm also the chair on the Alaska State Council on the Arts.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much. Perry Eaton is our next person signed up. Mr. Eaton, are you there? And I also have Ben Brown from the Arts Council here in Juneau. I don't see Mr. Brown. Mr. Eaton or Mr. Brown? Okay, maybe we'll get them at the next hearing. Mr. Lamb, or is there anyone here in the audience in Juneau who would like to testify on the bill at this time? If not, Mr. Lampkin, do you have anything else to add or to sum up with?
That's all we have at present, sir. We stand ready to answer questions at our, as you wish.
We appreciate the presentation. We're going to...
I'm
sorry. Senator Davis.
Right. On page 2 of the bill, and down on line 8, I see that as a significant change. You're checking out, it's not going to say Native Arts anymore. It's going to just say Alaska Artists. Is that not right?
Through the chair, Senator Davis, I don't believe that's correct. I believe that the only words being struck it.
It's going to still say Alaska Native.
Line 9, you say?
Line 8.
It shall, the new language shall read identification seals for authentic Alaska Native art created or crafted.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So at this time, we're going to keep the public hearing open on the legislation, and Senator Stevens will be back with us at our next hearing. This bill will appear back before us under bills previously heard. So, Mr. Lampkin, thank you very much for being with us. Let's go ahead and set Senate Bill 97 aside for this at this time, for now. And I understand Mr. Fink has joined us. We'll take back Senate Bill 101. We'll take that up at this time. And Mr. Fink, are you there?
Mr. Chairman, I am.
If you could state your name and your affiliation for the record, and then please go ahead with your presentation on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Josh Fink. I'm the director of the Office of Public Advocacy, here to speak on Senate Bill 101, an act relating to private professional conservators and private and public guardians. Before I begin, I would like to thank the chairman, Senator Ellis, and committee members for introducing this legislation as a committee bill. It is greatly appreciated, and we believe its enactment will go a long way towards ensuring that private professional guardians are adequately regulated, while at the same time encouraging the development of this industry in Alaska as we see a growing or aging population and the need for guardianship and conservatorship services. Mr. Chairman, this is primarily a cleanup bill. In 2004, the legislature passed House Bill 280, which enacted licensure requirements for private professional guardians and conservators. Prior to that, it was an unregulated profession, and we had a couple notorious cases in Alaska where private guardians basically spent their wards' estates down to nothing, engaged in some financial fraud. There have been a number of lawsuits. Private guardianship company was removed from a number of cases by the court system. And it became very apparent to us here at OPA, where we provide guardianship services through our public guardian section, that there was a need for some licensure and requirements by the state to ensure that people performing these or providing these services had to meet certain requirements. When House Bill 280 was enacted, however, we could have been more artful in the language we used. We had intended that those applying for a license would get one license and pay one fee to the Division of Occupational Licensing. We are informed by that division, as the bill was written, It requires numerous and duplicative licenses and the associated fees, which of course would be an impediment to encouraging this the growth in this industry. So for instance, under House Bill 280, in the way the current law is written, an individual would have to get a license for himself, a license to be a guardian, a license to be a conservator, and if it was a corporation or limited liability company, a license for that company. So three licenses where we intended just one. So this essentially goes through and cleans that up. It gets rid of the organizational license so that the license is personal to the individual. The individual would be required to have a license, not the organization. It also essentially says if you have a guardianship license, you don't need a conservatorship license. Yes, Mr. Chairman?
No, there's nothing here. Go ahead, Josh.
Conservatorship services are generally subsumed within a full guardianship. And so, again, we get rid of the need for duplicative licenses to make it easier for individuals wanting to do this to get licensed to perform these services. We also cleared up on page 2 of the bill, Mr. Chairman, subsection 5, which is on line 6 through 12. We specified the sorts of crimes that would preclude someone from obtaining this license. Previously, it was pretty broad. It was if they had any crime within 10 years that affects their ability to provide the services. I think that the division wanted more direction. And what we really were trying to get at there was crimes of dishonesty, given the fiduciary duty that the private guardian or conservator would have towards their ward. So we specify here that any crime of dishonesty would preclude someone from obtaining a license if they had a conviction within the past 10 years. The other significant change from, well, the new enactment in this legislation would be that public guardians would be required to undergo the same criminal background check and obtain the same national certification that private guardians would have to obtain to get a license. That currently is already done by policy here at OPA, but there were a number of people in the guardianship arena in the private sector who felt it was unfair that the statutory requirement was placed on them, but not public guardians, and I agreed with them, as we do it now anyway. I thought it was a good idea to go ahead and put it in statute so that the same requirements apply to public guardians as private guardians. That essentially is the legislation, Mr. Chairman. I'm happy to answer any questions. I do want to note that I spoke with the director, Rick Urien, at the Division of Occupational Licensing. They have some concerns about our language regarding insurance and bondability for the license as a requirement of obtaining the license, and we think we know how to resolve those problems. But we do want to let the committee know that I need to get together with Mr. Urien and our respective staff so we can come up with some corrective language, and we would hope that the committee would entertain a committee substitute the next time it takes this bill up addressing those issues. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Fink. The committee is happy to help, was happy to help with introducing this as a committee bill. I had heard that there were some concerns with the legislation. Mr. Urien may want to come and put that on the record at this time. And I understand that you all will be working out some things, and we hope to have a committee substitute drafted up with your assistance and have that circulated to committee members before the next meeting. So Mr. Urien has approached the table here. Mr. Urien, did you want to put your concerns on the record that we do plan to address?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Once again, my name is Rick Urien. I'm the director of the Division of Corporations Business and Professional Licensing. And the bill before you, the licenses of this group is sort of a work in progress, and we do appreciate you sponsoring this bill because these are not always a high priority in some legislators, but it's a high priority where the people are concerned. And we do have some issues, and we are working together, and hopefully by the time your next committee meeting or when you want to bring it up again, we will be prepared to have all the solutions to this this issue. It's unfortunate the license examiner that worked for me that managed this program passed away a week and a half ago, so I'm a little bit behind. I was a little got behind the power curve a little bit on this issue. So, yeah. But
well, thank you, Mr. Urien. Let me ask Mr. Fink. Mr. Urien, would this coming Tuesday be too soon, given your other workload, to try and get a committee substitute together?
It was our plan to meet tomorrow, so I think if we meet tomorrow and maybe Monday, we should be prepared by Tuesday.
Okay. Well, let's shoot for that if we can. If it carries on till next Thursday, a week from now, that's fine. But I do want to send this bill along its way if we've gotten it shaped up.
Yes, we will work toward that end.
Okay, great. Any comments or questions for Mr. Urien? If not, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So that's the game plan, Mr. Fink. Does that sound good to you?
Mr. Chairman, absolutely. And I will get with Mr. Urien tomorrow and your staff, and we should be able to go forward Tuesday.
Okay. And Mr. Fink, I was just curious, does the guardianship section or officers there at the Office of Public Advocacy, do you hear a lot of complaints related to things that are going out there across the state?
Mr. Chairman, occasionally we will receive complaints, and I know that the court, we interact with the court quite often, the probate court, and they've got some concerns with some private guardians. I think the major bad players aren't there now, but there are still some issues that we do hear from about time to time.
I seem to hear complaints fairly frequently from families that, have an elderly parent or grandparent, and they're befriended by somebody at the nursing home or someone from the community, and the children, the blood relatives are sort of alienated and cut out of the process, and the will is changed to benefit some private party who's shown up there at the end of life and befriended the elderly person. And I guess what we're doing here doesn't get directly at that situation that goes on in a lot of families. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, a family member or an individual who was going to be a guardian wouldn't have to get licensed unless they did it as a business, so they had two or more clients or wards. So a family member or friend having just one ward, this doesn't get at that. If they had multiple clients, it would. I do want to note, though, Mr. Chairman, last year, Representative Chenault introduced legislation that passed creating the Office of Elder Fraud and Abuse here at OPA. And that office more directly addresses the issues you raise. Yeah. When we become aware of exploitation of a senior by family members or friends or anyone for that matter, we're empowered to investigate that and sue on that senior's behalf to seek civil remedies.
Could you can you send some information to me about that effect? I'd forgotten about Chenault's bill and the creation of that office, because I do receive complaints and concerns time to time and have some family experience in that area and with relatives. So it'd be good to know who to refer people to if they have that concern in their family.
Mr. Chairman, I will do that, and we actually just put together a brochure, and I can send you some brochures that explain what the office does and provides contact numbers.
Oh, that'd be excellent. Has there been a general distribution of those brochures to legislators?
Mr. Chairman, there has not. While the section was, I'm very happy it was created, it's right now only staffed with one attorney and a paralegal, and we are overwhelmed. So I have instructed that attorney to back off on seeking new cases because of the volume we've got and the paucity of, we just don't have the staff. But I will get you the brochures, and you, they can be distributed among the legislators, and we will do the best we can with the staffing we've got.
No, I understand the limitations. I just know that it crops up in my office. Some family calls once or twice a year with that kind of problem.
I will definitely get you those brochures, Mr. Chairman. Okay.
Thank you. Anyone else on Senate Bill 101? If not, we're going to follow the game plan and hold this bill over as well for the next hearing. Is there any further business to come before us today, Dana? Nothing? Okay. Well, then we've been pretty expeditious about our work, and we will adjourn the committee at 2:05 in the afternoon. Thank you all for being here.